Amen. Thank you guys for being here this morning. I appreciate it so much, and look forward to having a few minutes in God's Word together. You know, it seems like that Christmas has become commercialized in a lot of ways. The world in which we live has commercialized Christmas. Marketing strategies have commercialized Christmas. And you and I have to continue on and on, year after year, telling the Christmas story so that future generations will experience the blessing of God's presence in their life, and they will enjoy what God has done for us, and they will discover the real reason why we celebrate Christmas. Christmas is worth celebrating, and I pray that today God will use His Word to remind us of that reality. Well, I want you to think for just a moment. Has there been a time in your life when you felt hopeless? Maybe a circumstance happened, maybe a series of circumstances happened in your life that made you feel hopeless. Has there been a time in your life when you felt God was not with you? That He had abandoned you. He had left you in the midst of all of the struggles and difficulties that you were facing. Has there been a time in your life when you felt all alone? Felt like you were the only one who cared. You were the only one who had this experience in your life. Because that's what happens sometimes. When we get discouraged and when we get down, we forget about the blessings that we have. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ here today, there is a great reason for you to celebrate, no matter what you're going through, no matter what difficulty is happening, there's a reason for you to celebrate. And I want to share some of those with you. The first one is this: Christmas is worth celebrating because God is now with us. You remember in Matthew chapter 1 when the angel came to Joseph, and he said to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Now, we know from reading the Bible, reading in the book of Genesis, that God has always been present. But there was a unique moment in history, in the history of the world, where God Himself came and He revealed Himself through His Son. It says in the book of Hebrews that He came and He was the exact representation of the character of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. He gave us a picture of who God is. Can you imagine being people who lived during those 400 years of silence? When there was no prophet in Israel, there was just silence. Everything was going on as usual. People were marrying. People were giving in marriage. People were making money. People were involved in their careers. But for 400 years, there was no direct prophet that would speak the word of God to the people of God. And then Jesus was born. Kind of gives us a different picture of why the story of Simeon and Anna are so important in Luke chapter 2. Why their life is important, because they were anticipating, they were waiting for the coming Messiah, that he would come one day. And those stories are so significant. So how is God with you today? I'm not just talking about in this room. I'm talking about in your life. How is God actively involved in who you are? John chapter 16, verse 5 says this. Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he said, "But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Because they were concerned about Jesus leaving. "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage." Notice what that scripture says. "It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us as believers. The Holy Spirit is the one who leads us in worship. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us a sense of direction. The Holy Spirit is the one who prays for us. The Holy Spirit is the one who is actively involved in our lives. God, the Holy Spirit, he is with us each and every day, every moment of the day. He is always with us. He never leaves us. You know, one of the things about the Spirit of God in the Old Testament was the Spirit of God would come upon people and then the Spirit of God would leave. If you know anything about the story of Samson, you know that there was a time when the Spirit of God worked in Samson's life with great power. And then when his hair was cut, he lost that sense of power. He lost the presence of the Holy Spirit during that time until his hair began to grow and the Spirit of God came back. You and I don't have to worry about that, because I wouldn't have the Spirit. My hair won't grow. But you and I can experience God's presence, not because our hair grows, but because the Spirit of God is given to us as a gift, as a seal of the promise of God that he has prepared life for us, and he has great plans for us. And one day, we get to spend eternity with him. So God came to us in the baby that we celebrate during this Christmas season. God came to us. Has he come to you? Are you living with the Spirit of God inside of you? Are you experiencing God's presence and God's power in your life? Because if you are not, the Word of God tells us we can experience that. We can nourish that. We can grow with that experience. We can grow with the Holy Spirit in our life. So we celebrate. Christmas is worth celebrating because God is now with us. It's not some distant person, but he is right here with us. And if it's just you and God, what do you have? You have a majority. You have everything that you need in your life. You and God. Me and God. He gives us everything we need. The second reason is because Jesus redeemed us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 says, so that Jesus might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Jesus, in coming to earth, yes, he was born as a baby, but he grew up in wisdom and stature and favor with God and in favor with others. And as part of that growing up, he ultimately gave his life on a cross. Christmas is just one part of the full story. Yes, he came humbly as a man. He lived as a man. He experienced flesh and blood like we do. But Jesus also, not only in doing that, he came to give his life a sacrifice that we might experience his redemption. That we would no longer be enslaved by the law. What we could not live up to. That's really what that means. The law is something we could never live up to as much as we practice it. And, you know, the Pharisees, they probably thought, well, I'm better off than you. So I have lived up to the part that I can. But you know what? All of us are sinners. All of us have gone astray. All of us have missed the mark that God has set for us. But God, in his goodness, sent a Savior for us, a Redeemer. Says in Titus 2:15, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. If you want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, I want to take a moment to read this passage because it's so powerful and it has so much truth in it. Ephesians chapter 2, I want to start with verse 1. It says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. That was who we are without believing in Jesus. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit now working in the sons of disobedience. That was our position prior to believing in Christ. Among them, we too all formerly lived, that's what he's saying here, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But verse 4 starts out like this: But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not by your religion, he says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of our works, so that no one would boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in him. Therefore, remember, so what he wants us to remember, that formerly you Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He made peace between God and us, who hath made both groups, Jew and Gentile, into one, and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death that enmity. So you and I, when we think about Christmas, the greatest gift anybody could ever receive is that redemption. Because without that, we are hopeless and we are helpless. We cannot save ourselves by our own ability. We can't do it by our works. We can't do it by our plans. We can't do it by our good intentions. We must receive the gift that God has given to us. And he gave it to us as a gift, so that none of us could boast and say, man, I am glad, God is glad that I am on his team. We could look at ourselves and see with humility, I was a hopeless and helpless person until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he made Christmas something that is worth celebrating because he redeemed us. The third reason I want to share with you is because Jesus gave us victory over death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, latter part of the chapter, verses 55 through 57. You know, Paul has been spending time in this chapter. If you haven't read it recently, I encourage you. 1 Corinthians 15. He talks about how futile life would be if Jesus had only come as a baby. But Jesus didn't come as a baby, just as a baby. He came, grew up, lived life here on this earth, and then he died on a cross. But that's not the end of the story. His death on the cross is simply a part. The climax was when Jesus was resurrected. Because when Jesus was resurrected, as it talks about in the Easter story, he conquered death for us. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He makes it possible for us to celebrate even though we're stuck here. Even though we're living this life, we are celebrating what God has done for us. And realizing that we have the greatest gift of all. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you think it was a mistake that Paul wrote every spiritual blessing? Or do you think that's exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted him to say? You and I have been given every spiritual blessing that heaven can give us because Jesus came. Because He lived among us, and because He was raised up from the dead. A third reason is because Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. Listen to this. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, meaning Jesus, is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. How did Jesus destroy the works of the devil? Well, folks, the devil wants to enslave us. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, nothing can enslave you. Jesus himself conquered the greatest enslavement, which was death itself, when he died and was raised. And you and I get to live with that blessing. Paul said in another place in 1 Corinthians, he said, He made him who knew no sin to be sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. That we might live in that blessing that He has for us, no longer in bondage to the evil one and what He has planned. Another way that Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. In the midst of the temptation, we have an exit strategy because Jesus came, He died, and He was raised again. We have an exit strategy from God in the midst of the temptations that the devil would throw at us. And we are able to experience newness of life. What is the thing that you struggle to overcome? As you think about your life, what is it that constantly is hounding you? It's constantly there. It's something you think about. It's something maybe you participate in or you practice. The Holy Spirit can give you the power to overcome that. He can. But you have to receive the blessing that Jesus made possible. The Holy Spirit can give you the spiritual armor of God so that you can stand against the attacks of the evil one. The Holy Spirit can give us the victory. One day, we're no longer going to be struggling with the issue of faith. One day, everything God has promised for us, as the scripture teaches us, one day that is going to be sight. We're going to see with our own eyes what God has accomplished in our life. We're going to see the power and the majesty that He has poured out on us in Jesus. I want you to think for just a moment. I want to read a passage, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 12. This is what John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for His namesake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. We have overcome the evil one in our life because Jesus came. And He was born in a humble manger. And He lived among mankind. And they murdered Him. But thank God, 3 days later, He rose in victory. No longer weakened by the world, but in the power of God working in His life. These are just a few of the reasons why Christmas is worth celebrating this year and every year until our faith becomes sight. None of these are worth celebrating if you do not know Jesus. Without believing in Jesus, the Bible says, we are still enslaved and without God. Without believing in Jesus, the Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sin. Spiritually, we are dead. Without believing in Jesus, there's no victory over death. You know, a lot of times at a funeral, sometimes you have to do a funeral of a person you don't know. You don't know about their life. And the hard reality is that without Jesus, there is no eternal life in heaven. There's eternal life, but it's in a place the Bible calls hell. So without believing in Jesus, there is no victory over death. And without believing in Jesus, the works of the devil still influence us. They still impact our life, our thoughts. They cause us to wonder, to doubt, to question. But Jesus came that this Christmas and every other Christmas until he comes again will be a day of celebration for those of us who have trusted in him and have believed his goodness to us. Let's pray together.